Hello and welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. We're glad you've joined us for our business article this month as we step inside the golden arches of McDonald's. I'm your teacher, Josh. I'm happy to be with you today. I'm hoping you have your advanced magazines in front of you and opened to pages 24 and 25. And the title of today's lesson is McDonald's Innovation Center. And that, of course, is a restaurant we're all familiar with, whether we eat it for convenience or low price or great taste. There's a whole history and science and a lot of work behind the scenes, most of it taking place in America, and we'll step into one of those places today. And I have two panelists with me. We'll find out how much fast food they eat in their lives. First, I have Simon with us. Hi, Simon.
Hey, Josh. It's good to be back on Advanced, especially for this exciting topic, McDonald's. I'm a big fan of McDonald's. I don't eat there very often, but when I do, it's always a pleasure.
And Amanda is here. Hi, Amanda.
Hi, Josh. Yeah, I have been known to be found at McDonald's on occasion as well.
Why do you eat at McDonald's when you do?
Well, I think if you've traveled around the world, McDonald's tends to be a place that you measure different countries by, or there's a security in knowing what you're going to get when you go to a McDonald's.
Yes, that's the model, right? They want to provide a similar experience anywhere in the world. What is it like in New Zealand?
Oh, I would say over the years, it's become quite healthy. We have a lot of salads, a lot of sandwiches. A little bit different to Asia because Asia is more geared towards maybe rice as a staple. We have more like your potatoes and your vegetables.
Is New Zealand a fast food culture?
Yes, I would say that it has. McDonald's must have been around for perhaps 35 to 40 years, and at first it wasn't in every city, but slowly but surely it came to every city.
And do you call it Macca's like they do in Australia?
We do call it, or Mickey D's.
There you go. And Canada, Simon, tell us. I know McDonald's has been there for a long time as well, right?
There are all kinds of McDonald's in Canada. I would say I haven't actually been to a Canadian McDonald's in years. Because, of course, I don't live in Canada at the moment. But the sense I have is that it has also been heading towards healthier, kind of fancier food, albeit low-cost fancy food. The biggest thing I notice as a difference between McDonald's in Asia and McDonald's in Canada, though, is beef. There's all kinds of beef on the menu in Canadian McDonald's. And in Asia, often there's more chicken, fish, things like that.
Can you get poutine at a Canadian McDonald's?
I think you can. Poutine is a Canadian dish where we have French fries with big chunks of cheese curd and gravy poured on top.
Not the healthiest meal you can eat, but I've heard it's really delicious.
It's good stuff.
It's a signature dish, right?
It's a French-Canadian classic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, Amanda brought up a good point that McDonald's around the world do try to localize a lot of its menu.
Right. I remember traveling to Bangkok maybe 12 years ago, and my first meal going into Bangkok was actually in McDonald's because I hadn't gotten over the fact of trying the local stands because I knew McDonald's would be clean, hygienic, safe, that kind of thing.
And the menu was very different than one you expected?
It was. I was disappointed in the French fries. They weren't as crispy as what I was used to. And they definitely had a variety of different things I'd never seen before, but they still had the Big Mac.
The Big Mac seems to be everywhere.
Well, our deck says we're going to discover the place where McDonald's works to improve its service. And that is something you do hope is consistent around the world, right? The ability to get your food, what you ordered in an efficient way. Uh-huh. And it's a challenge for a company like McDonald's, who has a very big menu. I read they have upwards of 180 different menu items now.
Wow.
And that is creating some issues in terms of how long people have to wait for their food. So we are going to jump into our article. We're going to open this first day and divide it up into three readings. So we'll ask Lois to read where you see the 13.
McDonald's Innovation Center. Discover the place where the burger giant works to improve its service. Inside this nondescript warehouse, some 30 minutes from McDonald's suburban Chicago headquarters, uniformed crew members cook burgers, sling fries, and hand food to customers. But here, cashiers accept fake money. Workers and customers wear tracking chips to record their movements. And customers mimic going through the drive-thru in plastic chairs, not cars. Welcome to the Innovation Center, where the world's largest fast food operator studies, dissects current routines as well as proposed ideas that could quicken the operations of some 34,000 McDonald's restaurants worldwide.
Thank you, Lois. So where does our lesson start today, Simon?
Well, we start in Chicago. Not actually Chicago itself, the city, but actually in a suburb. And that's, of course, the home of McDonald's.
That's right. And we're not in a McDonald's restaurant to start. We're actually in a nondescript warehouse.
Right. And when something is nondescript, we're just saying that there's nothing distinct about it or exceptional that will make it stand out to you.
So I'm imagining there's not a big sign saying, "Welcome to the Innovation Center," that you could see from the highway. They might not even have a sign.
Yeah. And it is a warehouse, which means it's sort of an industrial storage space. So it's basically just a giant empty building.
Actually, I went on Google Maps before we met today, and it did look very gray and very industrial. So I think, like you said, it just tries to blend into the rest of the area.
It's in a town called Romeoville in suburban Chicago. We've used that word before on Advance. Just means it's outside a big city. So there's probably homes and other buildings around it, but it's not a metropolis. And inside are uniformed crew members cooking food just like a regular McDonald's.
Yeah, so it's like they've got a fake McDonald's set up inside this warehouse.
They're slinging fries and handing food to customers. That doesn't sound fake, Simon. There's actual real customers in there.
I don't know if they're eating it all, though, because it goes on to tell us they're using fake money. Mm. But when you're slinging fries, that's actually an interesting term, sling. It kind of means throwing, kind of underhand throwing fries. And if you've ever been to a McDonald's, you've seen people handling the fries in those metal baskets that they kind of flip around and dump in the oil and pull out. And
we use that term around diners, any kind of greasy, kind of, you know, low end of the restaurant chain. You're slinging hash and slinging fries.
It seems almost casual in the way that you would do it. Mm-hmm. But actually, if you don't do it well, you are going to lose the fries onto the floor or the egg, you know. So you do actually have to have a little bit of expertise to sling those fries.
It's interesting, though, too. I usually associate the word sling with a flipper. You know, when people are using a grill and they're kind of flipping pancakes or hamburger patties, things like that.
That's where I got my start, Simon. My first job was slinging cheeseburgers at a community lake snack bar.
Wonderful.
It was quite a start. Well, like Simon said, here at line five, these cashiers, so we have cooks, we have customers, and we have cashiers, and they're accepting fake money from these customers. And the customers and the workers are all wearing something, right, Amanda?
Right, they're wearing tracking chips. And a tracking chip is just a device that keeps track of the movement or the actions that you're doing, usually connected to computers to collect data. And this is to record their movements.
Yeah, literally down to, you know, how many strokes did it take to make that hamburger?
Wow.
They're going to look very closely at what the assembly of these McDonald's products are. And the customers, it says, mimic even going through a drive-thru, though they're not driving anything.
Yeah, that's right. They're just sitting in plastic chairs.
Mm.
It's like a giant kid's McDonald's.
Right.
In a kindergarten somewhere.
It sounds like it. So they are replicating the McDonald's experience even down to the drive-thru. And this, we learn at the next line there at line nine, is the Innovation Center. And this is nearly 40,000 square feet of space. in suburban Chicago, where McDonald's, the world's largest fast food operator, does a lot of things, right, Amanda?
Right. It says it studies, it dissects current routines. And when we say to dissect something, it means to examine it in a lot of detail. When I think of dissect, I think of my science class in high school, having to dissect small animals to see what the insides of them look like. But we also use that term just to examine something with detail.
So imagine a McDonald's in your head for a minute. What goes into the customer service experience, Simon? What are the elements you think they're looking at?
Well, it's interesting because McDonald's, when you've traveled around the world, you know that McDonald's are mostly very, very similar in different countries, even though people in those different countries tend to be very, very different. And so if you think about it, in a McDonald's, one of the things that's amazing is that they get customers to line up, even mm-hmm. in cultures where people don't line up very regularly. And they do that because it makes it easier to serve people instead of having crowds. So they have that sort of front service area where they have cashiers who are taking money and orders, but they also have people who are helping to carry the food out and put it on the trays and pack it up. And in behind, you can sort of catch a glimpse of all of the different people putting the food together. And one of the things I've always found very amazing about McDonald's service is that you can get customized orders. Mm. So they're able to do things like not put onions on your hamburger, which is pretty impressive.
Yeah, it's Burger King that says, have it your way. They really put that forward, right? But McDonald's will do it too.
Mm.
They'll take a custom order from you. And that's actually a big part of the future of McDonald's. I listened in on an investor call last week, and they said the custom burger, where you build your own from a series of toppings and items, is coming to 2,000 restaurants next year.
So it's a bit like Subway.
Yeah, very similar. Just
interesting.
Pick your mushrooms and sauces and cheeses and create your own. Sorry, that's coming this year, later in 2015. Well, they also look at some ideas. I just brought you one, this idea of custom burgers. So you can also imagine them testing new products in this innovation center as well, right, Amanda?
Right. It says proposed ideas that could quicken the operation. Like Simon mentioned, you know, there's a person that is serving you. There's usually another person helping them and a lot of people behind the scenes. But I heard that McDonald's try to serve every person within 90 seconds. That's a goal that they have. And so to do that, they need to, and if they have 120 items on the menu, they need to keep practicing how they're going to do that.
Simon has to wait a little longer because he wants, you know, no onions, pickles, and mayonnaise on the side, and, you know, tahintiao tea. But,
yes,
you know, you're warned now. If you go to McDonald's with Simon, you'll have to wait a little bit longer.
I like things the way I like them. That's it.
Well, we'd like Lois now to read our second reading.
Opened in 2001, the Innovation Center brings together a variety of players, from engineers, researchers, and designers to visiting vendors and franchisees, as they work to improve the Burger Giant service. The mission is particularly important now because McDonald's is grappling with its longest stretch of declining sales at long-standing restaurants in more than a decade. Shortening service times, ensuring that kitchens and crew members are ready to prepare new foods and drinks, and updating the ordering process are all key to that goal.
So what do we learn in this next paragraph about the Innovation Center, Simon?
Well, we learned that it's actually bringing together quite an innovative group of people. It says it brings together a variety of players, from engineers, researchers, and designers to visiting vendors. So if we just start at the beginning of this list here, engineers and researchers, it's very interesting. You don't usually think of engineers being involved in putting together food, but I suppose the idea here is that they're actually putting together a system that makes food, including the kind of equipment you'd find in the kitchen, things like that. And researchers, of course, who are able to study the process and get into some of that dissecting of the process we were talking about in the last paragraph.
And then designers. And there have been several articles you can find in Fast Company and some other things about how McDonald's is trying to update its look. Because even, you kind of, you know, we like the uniformity and what to expect, but it doesn't look very modern anymore, does it?
Right. I think, well, of course, the, you know, the burger boxes are pretty classic, and I think people would miss that if they didn't have that. But, for example, like if you have a wrap, they want that to stand out. Or, you know, the greens, they want those colors to stand out. Just like the vegetables, they want to use the colors to attract the people to McDonald's.
Mm-hmm. And people like to be in sort of hip, relevant places these days. You know, think of the Apple Store. There's just a lot of thought being put into this experience from when you walk in. And McDonald's just doesn't feel very hip.
I do remember, though, when McCafe came out. It came out for New Zealand. I don't know about the rest of the world, but it came out about the same time that Starbucks came to New Zealand. It was trying to compete, I think, with them. And they actually did a good job of presenting gourmet coffee.
Mm.
And so you would find a lot of people being in the McCafe side of McDonald's.
It's true. It's interesting you mentioned the packaging that burgers come in, because actually over the years McDonald's has done a lot of innovation, but it seems that it's harder to notice what they're doing these days. Like I remember when I was very young, burgers actually came in styrofoam containers. Do you remember those?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They kept the burger warmer and things like that, but they got rid of them for environmental reasons. Mm. It was a huge change. And I don't know if you remember this, but at one point McDonald's served pizza in Canada.
Wow.
Do you remember that?
No,
that was really big, too.
Wow.
But
I never made it south.
I can't name a single innovation that they have made in the last little while. I'm sure there have been some, but they just haven't sort of hit public awareness the same way.
I know in New Zealand, because we started doing wraps, they had a very good way to pull on the paper the outer part of the paper and be able to unwrap it cleanly so that you didn't make a mess like you do when you go to Subway.
Got it.
So that stood out to me.
Yes, they do that with their apple pies as well.
Right.
Mm.
That's small, but an interesting innovation in packaging. And part of the restaurant redos, where they're adding McCafes and upgrading the looks, is actually falling on the shoulders of the franchisees. And so they're asking these people who invest in building McDonald's in their area. That's what a franchisee does, someone who pays quite a lot of money to get the brand and all the products that come from headquarters, and then they own the McDonald's in their town. And usually they own more than one. And those people are the ones bearing the cost of renovating, updating the older McDonald's. But they're also working to improve the service. And what do we learn about the mission of McDonald's, Amanda?
Well, we see that they are trying to grapple with, or what we would say deal with, declining sales. Just what has happened over the last, or it says more than a decade, they've been grappling with declining sales.
When you grapple with something, it means it's a difficult problem.
Mm.
You're grappling perhaps with math or a difficult subject at school, something that's giving you problems. And McDonald's has been having significant issues around profitability, specifically at these existing stores. They call them same store sales, right, Simon? And it's a gauge of a store, of course, that would be brand new in a market. You can't measure its profitability against the past. But when something's been around for many years and it's in decline, McDonald's is having to make some changes. What are some things they're looking to improve?
Well, the first one they give us is the shortening of service times. And basically that means helping customers get their food faster. And it's interesting. I remember as a kid, we didn't go to McDonald's very often, but I do remember long lines at the tills at lunchtime, big crowds of people trying to sort of get their food and get out. And I don't remember a time when I've been in a McDonald's that has been sort of a big wait to get to the counter recently. And so my guess is that actually they have done a great deal to improve their service times over the last decade or two.
And part of that is training of the staff to get familiar with all the new foods. None of us could name any, but there are lots of new additions to the menu. No, I can actually. They've had Angus quarter pounder with cheeses and all sorts of new chicken sandwiches.
Right. They have one here too right now. There's one with salmon or something in it. And there's another one that's a 50s burger.
Right, the 1955 burger.
That's
which
it.
Is the date of its founding. And that's not found in America, actually.
And we have the Kiwi burger, which adds beetroot and egg to it.
Stop it.
Wow.
Beetroot and a burger?
But no kiwi fruit. That's confusing. No, that's for New Zealand, of course. Well, why don't we finish our lesson and ask Lois to read our second column.
What happens inside the center? Most days, at least one of the mock restaurants housed in the warehouse buzzes like an actual McDonald's during the breakfast, lunch, or dinner rush. Every move the crew takes can be studied by people watching from inside the kitchen, across the counter, from an observation deck above, or later by reviewing video. Those tracking tags worn by workers and customers log how long it takes an order to make its way through the kitchen, through the mock drive-thru, or across the counter. Customers, played by retirees or students, don't always choose their meals. Many times orders are recreated from a previous day at an actual restaurant. The focus is really on what customers are looking for, said Melody Roberts, McDonald's Senior Director of Experience Design Innovation.
Thank you, Lois. We're inside McDonald's Innovation Center outside Chicago. We know they're cooking inside. We learn it's a mock restaurant, and they actually have rushes, just like they do at a regular McDonald's. And every crew member's movements are being studied. Does that sound like a fun place to work, Amanda?
Well, I'm not sure if I like being studied at, you know, in such detail. But to know that you don't have the pressure of actual customers, perhaps that would be fun.
And where are these people watching you from?
Well, they're watching from all kinds of different places. They're watching from inside the kitchen, across the counter, and from an observation deck above, or by reviewing video. I suppose they could also be watching you as you move about a screen with your tracking chip.
Mm. I'm imagining some sort of catwalk at the top of the warehouse,
right,
and executives up there looking down at what's happening below.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. We were sort of talking about whether we would like to be watched doing this, but I think probably it's not a negative personal experience. I think they're probably, the assumption is that there's something wrong with the process instead of something wrong with the individual person. Mm-hmm. And so they'll kind of notice like where there are things slowing them down in their production process so that they can improve it, right?
You don't think they're yelling down, Bill, make that Big Mac again.
Yeah. Like,
faster,
you know,
faster.
What's wrong with you? There's not enough fries in that basket.
Cracking
you know?
The whip.
Yeah. I don't think it's like that.
No, I think you're right. They're just logging and learning how long it takes its way, there at line 10, to make its way through the kitchen. And you can imagine the order starting at the register, and it makes its way, like kind of weaves around each area of the kitchen, and then arrives back to you on your tray. And who are these people placing the orders, Amanda?
I think it's interesting that retirees or students are the customers, which they probably get, you know, a little bit of income to do that. And so they get to play the customer.
That'd be a fun job.
Yeah, it's interesting, though, because they don't actually get to order what they want, it says, you know. You'd think it'd be the dream job if you could just, you know, go through and get a free meal, right? But you get somebody's meal from the day before at an actual restaurant.
The orders from the day before. I don't think you're eating someone else's food.
Well, yeah, maybe not the food.
It says orders are recreated. So they want to make the experience as real as possible.
Right.
So they go and look at the logs from yesterday's restaurant. And they notice that a very large Canadian man ordered a burger without onions and with extra sauce and no pickles.
And Coca-Cola with no bubbles. Make sure you stir it till the bubbles are gone.
Okay, that's going to take all their service time to do just that one thing.
There goes the 90 seconds.
That's what good service is all about, though, friends.
And then we meet our first McDonald's employee here. Her name's Melody Roberts, and she has a pretty cool-sounding job, right, Amanda?
Right. She is the Senior Director of Experience Design Innovation.
So she thinks about how to make the McDonald's customer experience better. When you see that word innovation, you know we're talking about improvements, making something better. And she is director of the experience design team at McDonald's. And she says the focus is really on what customers are looking for. And I think that's been a key driver in all restaurants around the world. How do you get at what the customer wants most, as opposed to just telling them what they should want? Right? The customers these days are in control. Are you finding that, Simon?
I think that's true, but it's interesting because I think actually this focus on what customers want was probably a driver of McDonald's original success. I mean, you think about places where you go to McDonald's, and some places in the world, McDonald's is like clean, quick, affordable. You know what you're going to get. It's going to be the same thing every time. And that sort of reliability, that's pretty valuable in some places, you know?
It's true, but tastes are changing. We'll find out how McDonald's is responding to that as we look further into this lesson tomorrow. Hopefully you'll join us then for day 2 of McDonald's Innovation Center. Goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye. Bye.